All right, I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And once you find 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want you to stand with me, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 7. I'm going to read it, and you can follow along. It says, "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." If you'll look back at me, please. Tonight, we'll have lesson number 7 in our series on relationships. The lesson tonight is, I'm calling it, Relationship Problems in the Church. Relationship Problems in the Church. What we just read, if you were listening to verse number 10, I read it again. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." That was written to a New Testament church. It was written to the church of Corinth. You say, why? Because they were having some disunity and some relationship problems in their church. And here God is saying, let me show you how to handle certain types of relationship problems that are happening in the church. Let's pray, and then we'll get to the lesson. Father, bless us now. Meet with us, Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you would dominate our thinking, dominate my voice, control my voice, my words, my thinking. And then, Father, may all of us surrender our ears, that we not listen in the flesh, but that we listen in the Spirit. Bless our perceptions with thy guidance, and help the lesson to help us today and in days to come. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. You know, there's no better time, in my opinion, to teach a lesson like the one that I'm going to teach than when it's not needed. And so this lesson that I'm teaching tonight, Relationship Problems in the Church, it's a preventive maintenance type of a sermon. Now, I know some preachers, and they can do what they want. I know some preachers that don't deal with certain things until they've got a problem with it in the church. I seem to think that if I would teach us all how not to have that problem in the church, we'd be far better off than trying to fix it once it's broken. If we can prevent it, and so it does not come upon us, we're better off that way. You know, in a church, to me, and this is, again, my opinion, but in a church like ours, it's pretty rare that people get mad and leave because of doctrinal differences. Most people that come here find out very quickly what we believe and what we stand for, because we're not ashamed of that. If after you're here just a short time, you say, I think I understand what he believes. It's not hard to figure that out. So you don't, in a church like ours, you just don't have a lot of members, especially members that have been here any length of time at all, that leave because of doctrine. Most people who are truly old-fashioned Baptists don't have doctrinal differences in their church. There'd have to be a real big change taking place somewhere for that to happen. Now, in a church like ours, you have some that leave when they begin to face separation issues, because they're not used to that. But most people even grow and adjust to that. But you say, well, preacher, why do you think people leave churches like ours the most? Well, I think people leave churches like ours the most because of relationship issues, people issues. It's not usually doctrine. I've never had anybody come to me and say, I don't believe that you're saved by grace through faith. I'm leaving this church. In all the years I've been preaching, I've never had anybody do that. it just doesn't turn out that way. Now, I've had a few get mad because we believe in separation from the world, and there's some expectations placed on people that get into positions in the church. But even then, it's not multiple people that do that. But constantly, over and over and over again, you have people that can leave a church because this person offended that person, and this person didn't handle that person's child right, and this person's sister doesn't like that person's sister, and she took my jacket off the chair and moved it over here, and that's my chair, and everybody ought to know that's my chair, and that's my parking spot, and oh my, the people stuff, that's where it always comes from. So, now folks, I would say this. We never want folks to fuss in the church. We want people to get along in the church. See, our goal is 100% of the time that we get along. And everybody ought to strive for that. But no matter how hard we try, the devil can deceive some people into hurting the church and hurting themselves by contention and disunity. Now, what I'm going to talk to you tonight is, I'm not getting ready to talk to you about that contention. I'm not getting ready to talk to you about the disunity necessarily. I would like to talk to you about how to handle yourself if somebody else has some of that. And there's a right and a wrong way to behave ourselves. And let me tell you again, the wonderful thing about this is I can teach this. And I don't know of anybody in our church that's not getting along with somebody else in our church. Now, it's just my luck. There was a fist fight in the parking lot just a little bit ago. But I've been the pastor of this church now. We celebrate our third anniversary last Sunday, and we've just not had that kind of contention in our church. We've not had people in the church that were fussing and angry and bitter with each other. I've just not seen that. So a wonderful thing to me is to be able to stand up and teach something that is totally preventative. And so I want you to listen to me. And I'm not trying to fix anything because I don't see anything that's broken. But I do know this. The devil knows how to break things. He knows how to break things. And one thing you got to always remember, anytime you're in a revival situation, the devil wants to cause chaos. If you say, I'll tell you what, Pastor, that last Sunday was great, but a couple days before Sunday hit, it was total chaos in my life. I can't tell you everything that was happening. And I could take you to people that the few days before homecoming and our big Sunday, I mean, there were flat tires and issues at work and health issues and just all sorts of things. Well, the devil, he's in this thing for real. And sure, he wants to discourage us when we're going into a big day where people are going to be saved and people are going to be influenced for Christ. And a church begins to grow and the devil tries to influence and he wants to get involved. But here's the wonderful thing. Right now, I believe our church is peaceful. The battle that we have is with the devil. But what I'm going to do then is I'm going to say to all of us, hey, if there's ever within our church relationship issues where old Joe and old Bob can't get along, how do you and I, how do we handle ourselves? What do we do? So first of all, let me say this. If there's an issue, if there's a relationship contention within the church, the first thing I would say to you is this: kindly don't get involved. Kindly don't get involved. In Romans 16, verse 17, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now, if there are divisions, the Bible just says avoid that. That's what it said. If there's division, avoid it. If two people are offended with one another, you need to avoid it. See, if you hear two people are not getting along, decide that you're not going to get involved. You don't get involved. Now, let me read to you from Titus chapter 3, verse number 9. The Bible says this, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings." So here it says, avoid. When there's contention, avoid it. When there's strivings, avoid it. And it goes on to say, "For they are unprofitable." So God said, when there's contention between someone in the church, your job is to avoid it. Your job is to make sure you don't get yourself involved. Say, and here's where you'll have to be careful. Don't allow your pride to convince you that that situation demands your intervention. You say, well, who's going to solve the problem? Well, first of all, there's a God. And secondly, whether we like it or not, the pastor's going to help with that. But and here's what will happen. You better be careful not to let your goodness create a bigger bad situation. Because you say, well, I can handle this. I can do this. Most of the time, you just end up picking sides, and we just swelled the problem even more. See, if folks aren't getting along, in these situations, the best thing to do is to stay uninvolved and just keep serving God. That's what you ought to do. So I say, if there's ever contention, if two ladies in the church can't get along, if two men in the church can't get along, if suddenly we've decided to have the feud of the Hatfields and the McCoys, and their two families not getting along, you know what y'all do? Don't you start choosing sides, and don't you decide you're going to get involved. Before long, we'll have anarchy, and we'll have everybody fighting, and that's never what God wants. That's never what God wants. So you kindly just don't get involved. Number two, I would say this. If they approach you with the situation, still stay kindly uninvolved. You say, well, if I hear there's contention, I won't run over there and get involved. Well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do if they come and talk to me about it? Well, you're still supposed to stay kindly uninvolved. Job chapter 34, verse 2 and 3, it says, hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge, for the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Really, the concept that's being taught there in that verse is, if your ears hear it, you're probably going to want to make some sort of a judgment, and you're going to find yourself involved. Did you know, let's take the subject of gossip. Do you know that gossiping lips need one thing? Ears. And if they never get ears, the lips are just blowing smoke uselessly. And you say, well, what am I supposed to just do? To just tell them I don't want to hear it? Yes. Very kindly say, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear that. That's all. You do have that courage. You have enough courage to say things you're not supposed to say. Surely you have enough courage to not hear things that you should not hear. But if they approach you, just kindly stay uninvolved. Tell them, yeah, it's easy. You just say, listen, I love you. And out of respect of you and out of respect to everybody involved here, I just don't want to be involved. You can even blame this sermon. You can say, you know what preacher said? Preacher told me not to get involved. Folks, disunity is a lot like leprosy. You know, when people get leprosy, it starts out, it's about the size of a pinhead. It's a little dot. But leprosy is very contagious. It starts very small, and you get it through contact, but then it grows, and eventually it'll eat away at things, and it'll bring death. And folks, that's what happens with contention and disunity. It starts very small. And then through contact, it begins to spread, and it can eat away at the spirit of something, and it can actually bring death to certain organisms. So I say, number one, kindly don't try to interject yourself into other people's issues. Secondly, if they approach you, you still kindly retract yourself from it and explain that you love them, you love everybody involved, and you're getting involved is not your interest. Number three, you say, well, what advice do I give them? Here's the advice you give them. Why don't you see the pastor? Why don't you see the pastor? That's pretty good advice. I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 6. To me, this is it's a verse of responsibility for the pastor. 1 Samuel 9, 6, it says, and he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, preadventure. He can show us our way that we should go. In that story, I won't go into it. There's a little confusion about something that needed to be done, and someone said, go see the man of God, let him sort through it. Do you know something? Do you know if there is contention, I think the two ought to get together and like mature adult Christians work it out. But if they can't, we don't need a bunch of Indians getting involved. You're better off sending them to the chief and let the chief help the Indians work that thing out. So let the church leader, because he'll try to protect everybody involved. I'll just tell you something about my counseling, for instance. If a husband and wife come to me for counseling, let me tell you right off the bat so you understand, I don't take sides. I get on the side of right. That's my stance. I'll say to the husband and wife, if you want to take sides, you can join me over here on the side of right. But a lady might think, well, if I go see Brother Owens, Brother Owens will be on my husband's side because they're both men, and you know how men are. I don't think I've ever done that. I'm not afraid to tell your husband he's a knucklehead if he's a knucklehead. And men might say, well, if my wife will cry, I know Brother Owens' heart, he'll get on her side. No, I won't. I'll let her cry. I may cry with her, but I'll still tell her the difference between right and wrong. Now, you know how hard it is, folks, to help people and be just and be fair? So I say the advice, if you want to give any advice, if there is disunity between a couple of families or a couple of people in our church, if they're not getting along, don't you go throw yourself into it. And if they come to you, you just retract yourself. You say, well, I got to tell them something. Then just tell them, why don't you go see the preacher? Go see the preacher. It's one of the hardest things I do is to help people when there's division. But here's the good thing. I love both parties. I'll be a friend to both parties. It puts me in a difficult position, but I have God's best interest in mind first. I'll have the church's best interest in mind. I'll be just. I'll be fair. And then the next thing, you just pray for everybody involved, including the pastor, as he tries to help with a situation that might arise. And again, I love teaching something, and I have no reason to teach it. I like teaching it now. I love teaching things like, I'm not a big Santa Claus fan, and I'm better off teaching it now than the week before Christmas. You know, I don't want him to steal Jesus's thunder. But let me tell you, when there's contention, if everybody starts throwing their hat in the ring, you're going to have a mess. You will have a mess. Let me go on. Number four, here's something you can do. Pray for them. Pray for them. 2 Corinthians 1:11 says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Pray for them. They're hurting. Pray for them. Hey, and it may be self-inflicted hurt, but pray for them. Maybe they're being hurt by somebody else, but pray for them. Pray privately for them. Pray that everybody involved will not be guilty of pride. Pray that everybody involved will not hate. Pray that everybody involved will not practice revenge. Pray that everybody involved will practice forgiveness. Pray that everybody involved is not stubborn or they're not gossiping. Hey, pray that everybody involved doesn't start reaching out and trying to build an army so that we can fuss with each other and they are peeling. You want to pray that none of that happens, but you stay uninvolved and you pray. Pray that the division between, you know, old Joe and old George or John or whoever, you pray that that division does not quench the church's spirit. It does not quench the Holy Spirit. That it does not affect the lost community. Let me tell you all something, folks. We all need to get along, and I'm glad we do. People come in here, and they see our spirit, and we're happy, and we enjoy coming to church. But boy, when you have contention within the church, the lost people on the outside, they find out about that. They're going, why in the world would I want to go down to the church on the weekend where they can't get along when I spent my whole week down at work or down at the office and with family that can't get along? No, the church is to be a haven. The church is to be a place where our spirits are healthy and strong. And so while you pray that the division does not hurt the church or the Holy Spirit or that the lost community's attitude toward the church. So let me again tell you what I've said. If you find there's division, first of all, kindly, don't you go to it and get involved. Secondly, if it comes to you, kindly, don't get involved. Thirdly, the best advice you can give to them is go see the pastor and let him help you. Then you can pray for them. Number 5, do not ask others to pray for them. Do not ask others to pray for them. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 14 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer." The word pretense there, there's a little fake going on here. You want to show off your long prayer, and you're trying to make yourself look good. And listen, it's almost prayer as a front, and there's something else in their mind. That's what's being said here. Do you know that there are people that will advertise prayer requests in an effort to advertise problems? You say, "Pastor, would they?" Yeah, they would. Don't let a prayer request become a gossip technique. In our men's prayer meeting, and the men that are here, they know this. If there's a private prayer request, it's given as an unspoken request, which is good. And I'll tell you something. We have on Wednesday night, tonight, we'll take some prayer requests. But I'll tell you something you never want to do. You never want to take a shot at our congregation, somebody else in our congregation, by giving a prayer request. You don't want to do that with me. That would be a very bad thing for you to do, because that's evil. That's just, you're just out to hurt somebody. So I don't think God ever intended that prayer requests be weapons in a war. So we don't want to spread bad news through the prayer grapevine. Don't talk about it. You know, there's what we'd call bold-faced gossip, and then there's what we call prayer gossip. Look, you say, "Well, I'm going to pray because I'm a prayer warrior." Well, if you're going to pray about an issue that someone in the church has, you pray alone. You don't pull someone aside and say, "Brother, let's pray. I'll pray for that dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing." You're a Pharisee. You're a hypocrite. So, kind of an odd point to a sermon outline, but don't ask others to pray. You just pray. You pray alone. Number six. Be careful. I would recommend that you not pass judgment. Don't pass judgment. There's contention going on between two people, two families, two men, two ladies, two teenagers. I would recommend that you not pass judgment. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1 says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Don't get involved verbally. Don't get involved with your ears. You say, why? Because you can also get yourself involved mentally. See, I could say to you, don't approach it. Don't let it approach you. Just tell them to go see the preacher. And then you hear just enough of it, so you've got your mind involved. You've got your mind involved. I recommend you not get your mind involved. Say, it's in there. Well, just memorize some scripture and read your Bible and pray and listen to some good music. You say, well, what can I do? It's in there. Well, what do you do about the dirty pictures that you've seen that need to be taken out and the junk that you've let into your mind? You fight it. We ought to fight it before you get to making judgment calls on other people's situations. See, here's why. Here's why you don't want to pass judgment. You don't know the whole story. There's far more to situations and contentiousness than what's ever told. You know what happens? You know, you've got family A. They're going to share with you what the problem is. They're going to tell you everything that's wrong with family B. And family B, if they're going to share with you what's wrong, they're going to tell you everything that's wrong with family A. And you're never going to hear or know the whole story. So you've got to be careful. Don't pass judgment. You really don't know what's going on. You say, well, I can read between the lines. I know you've got ESP. And I know you think you can read minds. But really and honestly, only God can do that. And you just don't know it all. God's not saying here in Judges chapter 7, verse number 1, that there's not to be any judgment in life. The liberals take that way too far. There is going to be judgment in life. But he actually wants us to judge in our areas of jurisdiction. Let me tell you all something. I don't want to know what's going on at somebody else's church. It's not that I don't care, but it's not my business. I couldn't tell you anything that's going on at any other church in this area. Nothing. I'm too busy taking care of my own. I don't go to any gossip sessions with any pastors. I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want to know what their deacon did. I don't want to know what somebody in their church did. I don't want to know what somebody in their ministry did. I'm supposed to take care of mine, and they're supposed to take care of theirs. But see, under God, the Twin Rivers Baptist Church is my jurisdiction. You know what you do, parents? You make judgment at your house, but not at my house. I'm the dad at my house. I'm the husband at my house. A Sunday school teacher. You attend to your classroom. But I don't need one Sunday school teacher passing judgment on another Sunday school teacher. No, you take care of yours, and I'm to take care of mine. And by the way, America, we need to make sure that we're keeping an eye on America. Now, I'm glad for us to help with freedom around the world, but we better keep an eye on what's happening right here in our own country. We're going to lose our freedom if we're not careful. So God's not saying no judgment. He's just saying you judge when it's your business to judge. And when two people in the church are not getting along, that's not your business. And you don't have to get involved. In other words, if it ain't your business, keep your nose out of it. If your ears don't hear it, then your mind won't pass judgment. Then you're less apt to spread it. And so, and you don't want a wildfire. If two people can't get along, let's solve it right there. You keep it centralized, and you keep it among those two people, and you don't need everybody knowing about it. And even if you did hear about it, you need to stay uninvolved and just pray that it turns out well. But be careful even passing judgment. You know what I do? I don't make decisions about other churches' problems when it's not my business. I don't waste my time on it. And I don't mean I don't care. I don't let my mind get involved. My lips don't get involved. My Facebook account doesn't get involved. My Facebook account's never done anything. But my Facebook account doesn't get involved. My emails don't get involved. My texts don't get involved. My cell phone doesn't get involved. My eyes don't get involved. My ears don't get involved. My mouth doesn't get involved. And I don't let my mind get involved. Why? I have my hands full taking care of mine. And so some of you say, I am pristine on the outside, but you're dirty on the inside. Because you take it in, and you're making all sorts of judgments. And I'll tell you something, if a war breaks out, you'll know exactly what you're going to do when you're going to jump in and do. You're going to get yourself bloody and involved. Why? You have already entertained it in your mind. Now, if it's there, let's let it stop there. But I'm just telling you, there's more to this than just not getting physically involved. I'd stay mentally uninvolved. Next, I want to say this. If you're a young Christian, let me tell you something. As a pastor, I've been preaching since I was a 16-year-old boy. I'm now 56 years of age. For 40 years, I've been preaching the gospel. And I would say to young Christian, I'm sorry that a pastor would ever feel like he needed to teach this sort of thing. Now, I don't have a problem here. But I guess I'm saying to someone, you know, a brand new Christian gets saved and they come to the church and everybody's smiling and everybody's having a good time and they're happy and they see the Spirit. And then some contention enters and that young Christian says, oh my, what is going on here? It can throw them for a loop. Let me use some wording that God uses. Proverbs 19:25, he says, smite a scorner and the simple will beware. A simple person. They thought church is all peaceful. And church is all wonderful. And these people, they are the best ever. Well, I got to tell you, every once in a while, a jerk slips in and misbehaves. Or one of us becomes a jerk for a moment. So, young Christian, let me tell you something. The people in our church have a sinful potential. And if ever you find that there's contention between two, I apologize, but there's far less contention here than you're going to find elsewhere, and there's far less contention in the church than you'll find in the world. Proverbs 21:11 says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Hey, listen, simple, if you're newer Christian, you're kind of new in the church, if you say, I have never heard anything like this before, well, learn from it. Bible teaches that the simple ought to beware. In other words, give your attention to. Let this be caution to you. But the contention in the church, it shouldn't happen. The disunity in the church shouldn't happen. The devil wants to hurt the young Christian. I think that's maybe who I hurt for most. A faction or two in the church or two families get to fussing. You know, some of you veteran warriors, you'll say, oh, I've been around, I know, people misbehave like that, and they get on each other, and they fuss, and somebody gets mad and storms out. And you know, some of you older, stronger Christians say, well, I can take it. I can make it. Okay, the younger Christians don't. They don't know what to do. And so many times, the devil can get involved in a disunity or they get involved in conflict. And some of the veteran Christians, they may hurt, but they make it through it. They stay in church. They stay in the right kind of church. But the young Christians that you just reached, they scatter everywhere. They mess up their lives, and it can ruin them. So, listen, young Christian, if ever you see contention, don't quit church. Don't quit church. Know this. No, the pastor's not for it. Know this. The spiritual people in the church are not for it. And the church is not for it. And know this. God's not for it. So to the young Christian, I say, I apologize. The human race can sure do some dumb things. And we all have the potential of misbehaving like that. But young Christian, if it ever happens, you remember this night. Say, my pastor said, there are times when this pops up, and I don't want to get involved. And I'm going to pray for them, and I'm not going to spread it, and I'm not going to run. I'm not going to leave the church. I'm going to stay close to the Lord and stay in my place. Let me give you something else. Everyone, I would say this, realize it's not the norm for our kind of church. If you see contention between two people, if you see two people fussing, you see folks that are not getting along, just remind yourself, I don't think that's the norm for the church. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 16, it says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. Folks, division in our church is not customary. If you're newer in our church, I can only testify, but I think there would be people here that would say amen to this. I've been the pastor here for 3 years, and it has been very unified and peaceful, and we are just having a good time serving God. We got to fight the devil. We have little bumps here or there. You're going to always have those, but it's been very, very peaceful. So here it says there's no such custom. In other words, it's not customary in our church that there be division. It's not customary in our church that there be contention. We don't want that. And if some contention comes, you do understand that if suddenly there's contention, for you to notice that it was contention, there had to be peace before it became contention. Okay. Before you get discouraged and you quit, you got to realize there might be a couple of quick Christians that maybe you're not getting along like they ought to, but that doesn't mean everybody has to get discouraged. I think sometimes it's awful easy. I used to do an illustration where I would take a big piece of white poster board and I would put on a 36-inch square piece of white poster board a black dot about the size of a golf ball. And I'd put it right in the middle of that poster board, and I'd hold it up, and I'd say, okay, everybody, what do you see? And everybody'd say, a black dot. And I'd say, no, a white poster board. Why? Because 99% of the board was white, and there was one black dot. But your mind and your eyes gravitate immediately to that black dot. You know what can happen in a church? You could get a little black dot of misbehavior between two people. 99% of the church is unified, love each other, getting along, and have a great spirit, and you see the black dot. Ever seen on a cartoon where the devil pops up, and he's a real little devil, and he's on somebody's shoulder, and he's talking in their ear? Well, when it comes to the black dot, the devil will pop up on your shoulder, and he'll say, see that, see that, see that, see that, and it'll be that one little spot. In other words, if there were 200 people here on a Sunday and two of them weren't getting along, you'd spend your whole day wanting to be mentally involved in the two and not looking at the 198 that were joy-filled, spirit-filled, loving God, positive, good attitude. And the devil says, look at that, look at that, look at that. I'm going to tell you all something about that right there. If you're not careful in a church like ours, one little thing will happen to you, happen to your child, happen to your, and that'll eat at you and eat at you and eat at you and eat at you and eat at you, and it's a very little thing.
My moms have been going through that for years. Dads have been going through that for years. We've been going through that for years. But boy, you zeroed in on that. The devil's got that on you mentally. And man, that eats at you and eats at you and eats at you and eats at you. And really and honestly, it might be a concern, but it's not worth the mental toil and anguish that you're now putting yourself through. And now you're just letting it fester and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And before long, this thing's out of control. What happened? You just looked at the black dot and you emphasized the black dot. You didn't look at all the other wonderful things going on in your life. So realize that it's not the norm. As it said, if some be contentious, that's not our custom. Now, two more points and we'll be done. First, and this is actually number 9. Here's what I would recommend. Make sure that you, and I want to make sure that I, am not the one to create the disunity or to create the friction. In Luke chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones." Sunday school teachers that were in my meeting earlier tonight, there's an illustration that applies perfectly. There's some shock treatment going on here. God's not recommending that we take an anchor and tie it on your neck and throw you in the river here. But God is telling you, be careful. Don't go around offending people. Don't you be the one that's abrasive. Don't you be the one causing the disunity. Don't you be the one that lets that little thing get out of control. Let me tell y'all something, folks. When you go to a church that is doctrinally correct, when you go to a church that's taking a stand on the Word of God and they've got some separation in them, you better be very, very careful griping about what color they painted this and where they put that and the fact that I don't like that cabinet right over there. Look. You have to thank God that you have a church that's right with God. And all those other things are peripheral things anyway. You say, well, I want better. Well, let me tell you what you deserve. You deserve hell. You might want to get your mind out of the gutter about what you think you deserve, because the truth of the matter is we all deserve hell. Anything's better than hell. But we're far beyond having to compare ourselves to that. We've got a wonderful church. But you just make sure that you don't create the disunity and you don't create that friction. And let me tell you this. If you find yourself there and you say, uh-oh, there's some tension between me and someone, and here's what you do. Fix it fast. Humble yourself and fix it. Oh, I'll fix it, Brother Owens. If they will crawl to me, they probably won't crawl to you. You need to humble yourself. And let me tell you all something that I know about me. Sometimes the things that irritate me most about others, God has a way of humbling me, and I find myself making some of the same stupid mistakes. And God says, well, let me tell you something. You were so mean and you were so rude about this or that. Let me show you some things about you. You're not perfect yourself. And so, but listen, if you find yourself, you say, I'm the one that's got some contention and some disunity, you fix it fast. You humble yourself. You don't spread it, and you work at protecting your spirit and the spirit of your church. That's what you ought to want to do. I'll say this, and I'll be finished. I think it's wise in a church that we promote and we protect unity. Now, folks, unity and union are a couple of different things to me. I'm not going to go out and yoke up with every religious Tom, Dick, and Harry in our community in the name of unity. I want unity in my church, but I don't go out. I'm not going to unionize, if you will. We're not going to go to a sunrise service with people that don't believe right, and we're not going to fellowship with churches that don't believe right. If they don't believe right about the Word of God, and there's even some separation issues, that I'm just not going to unify with other churches. Now, unity within the church is a different story. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And that, in other words, you and I am to create peace around me. And I don't think that means everybody gets involved in every tuffle at the church and try to solve it. I think I am to be peaceful. That's my responsibility. Promote unity. See its value. Protect unity. Be on guard. Pray for unity. Nothing like a unified church. Nothing like a church that has a common cause and they get behind the Word of God and they uplift Jesus and salvation. Nothing like it. And nothing like a church where that's been lost. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. So, let's be very careful. If the series here on Wednesday night is about relationships, the teaching tonight is, when there are relationship problems in the church, how should we handle ourselves? And again, you say, but if I care about them, I want to solve the problem. Listen, if you care about them, prayer. If you care about them, don't start making all sorts of judgments. If you care about them, you don't want disunity to get out of hand in their church because they need the good atmosphere and the good spirit of their church. If you care about them, can I tell you all something? I am not trying to exalt Jeff Owens. I'm a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner. But I have been called to what I do. I'm a pastor. It's what I do. I know how to help people. You know something? If you have a problem with your computer, don't bring it to me. Take it to Rick Young. If you have a problem with your diesel engine, don't bring it to me. Take it to David Steed. Hey, you have a problem with your restaurant? Take it to Jim Phillips. He knows something about what he's doing. You have problems with taxes? Take it to Rich Hart. He's a professional in that area. Hey, you have medical issues? You could see Ronnie Howard. He's a doctor. My job is to help people spiritually. It's my job. I don't want to do anything else. It's the only thing that I don't think I do it well, but it's the only thing that I want to do. So when there are issues like that, if you let the person who will love both parties be just, maybe even trained a little extra to handle those things, you minimize and you're less apt to blow it out of proportion. And that's one of the best things that we can do. And thank God, probably just wasted 45 minutes of your time teaching something that we don't need here anyway. But if the devil has his way, we may need it. Because he would like to create a problem. And I don't want to create a problem. I don't think you want to create a problem. But if we ever have a problem, let's minimize it, not maximize it. And let's solve it the best way. And I believe that is how we can deal with relationship problems within a church. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'll ask this question. We'll have an altar call and we'll get to our prayer requests and things for the night. Would anyone here say, preacher, well, let me start out this way. May I ask you, would you say to God tonight, Lord, I am willing and desirous to handle any issues that come up in the church in the future. I'm willing to handle them the scriptural way that I've been taught to handle them. I want to do that. And Lord, tonight, I'm going to do my best to make the commitment. If there's ever contention in the church, I want to handle it the way I've been taught to handle it. Would you raise your hand and say, God, that's what I want. I want to do that. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment, maybe you ought to come and pray. Again, I don't think we have any contention to pray about. Thank God for it. But if you need the altar for a moment, maybe you just have a need. And again, I hope you don't know about all the issues out there around the world. And if you do, be careful. You're not supposed to be a garbage disposal. I just don't have people dump negatives on me. Now, pastors call and get my advice, but I'm very cautious. I don't stick my nose in where it's not been invited to be. And if you're making judgment on other people's ministries, who do you think you are? That's not your business. You're not helping. You just need to stay uninvolved and pray. If you need the altar, we're going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Oh, watch that contention. Guard yourself. Guard the church. said, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The church at Corinth had a lot of issues, people issues, and they're being instructed here. Now, y'all get along. You get along. Avoid foolish questions and contentions and strivings. They are unprofitable, it says in Titus chapter 3, verse number 9. Romans 6:17, it says that where divisions and offenses come, he said, avoid them. Avoid them. Remember, if your ears don't hear it, your lips are not apt to say it. And some of you need to take control of your mind because you're not saying it, but you're thinking it. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, making decisions about things that are not your business. You're going to jeopardize your thinking if you're not careful. You'll corrupt your thinking by getting involved mentally. One more time through the song. Ushers, if you have extra prayer sheets, why don't you grab them? Ushers, also within your reach, if there are financial statements, we're going to try prayer sheets first. This is the last time through the song. We'll be seated. We'll take a few moments for the prayer sheet, and I promise you, you'll be on your way. Thank you, Mrs. Young.